Welcome back, everyone, to the second episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a pretty exciting week. We've had not only more Guild Wars 2 news, but I think the popularity of the podcast has already started to take off. We have a lot of really positive reviews on it.
Yay! Thank you, guys. I love that.
Yeah, it's definitely good to hear, and you know, kind of get a lot of that the old listener base back, you know, from the old days. And now, a lot of people have asked if I have the feed up yet. I actually don't. Well, I do, but iTunes doesn't. It takes them quite a while. And it's one of those things where it's hit or miss. It could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it could be one day. It just depends on when they get around to it. So it's set up. The RSS feed is actually on a Libsyn account. I went ahead and bought a Libsyn account to get that set up. So if someone wants to check out the direct RSS feed, it's guildcast.libsyn, that's libsyn.com/RSS. And that will give you the RSS for the show notes and the actual episodes themselves. And that's the one that iTunes actually draws from. So eventually, when they get it, it will draw from that. But we'll put that in the show notes so that someone can grab that right there.
Perfect. I'm actually glad you said that. We had Guild Wars Night for Massively last night, and a couple people asked me about it. And I was like, I don't know. I'll ask.
Yeah, I know. Like when I first did Guildcast in 2005, really all there was iTunes. You know, there were a couple other smaller ones that were picking up RSS. So iTunes is a big one. But now it's actually more important to have the actual the RSS feed itself, so that you can do with it what you will. So that works really well, and it's a pretty easy one. And Libsyn is good because I know a lot of people who actually use it, and they base it off of the traffic you get on the size of your podcast and all this other stuff. It's a bunch of technical stuff no one wants to hear.
I'm kind of interested.
It's pretty cool, though, the way they set it up, where it's not really based on any flat rate. It's kind of how much traffic you do. So.
Cool.
So download it to your computer and listen to it there. Don't listen to it over and over on the free. No, just kidding.
Yeah. So that's all set up, and iTunes, we're just kind of waiting on iTunes to get back on their end, right?
Yep, that's right.
Great. I'm excited.
Yeah. So this week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the latest news in Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2. And there was quite a bit, like, has been happening in the last few months. It's really quite amazing. You know, ArenaNet for a long time were pretty quiet, and now they're like, bam, you know, every single week they're getting out new information, not only on the changes that are happening in Guild Wars. You know, they're still maintaining Guild Wars 1, the original, but also Guild Wars 2. We're getting all of this information. And on top of that, a lot of these, they're like dev blogs that go up on the ArenaNet site. They spark more and more questions, and a lot of other MMO news sites, including Massively, of course, are Massively.
Yes. I'm sorry.
are grabbing these questions and you know, asking to clarify a few things here and there, and they're really good about answering these. So so we get to kind of ask everything. You know, if there's little tiny questions, you get to ask. So let's start out with a little bit of we'll kind of back up a little bit and talk about some of the lighter news, I guess, and we'll build up to the big one.
That works.
So this first one is for a Guild Wars 2 merchandise survey. And what this is it's kind of like a promise that they're going to make, well, not a promise, but a hint that they're going to make some Guild Wars 2 merchandise. Now this, actually in here they included everything from socks to action figures to computer cases. And last time they didn't really have a lot of merchandise with Guild Wars 1, but they did have a few things. Like, actually, I have a mouse pad that I actually wanted at PAX. I didn't buy it. But, you know, they have shirts, they have mouse pads, they had computer cases, they had the Razer mice, which are actually are just phenomenal. I had one of those for a while until it broke. Apparently, you're not supposed to use it as a mace. I didn't know that.
I was getting ready to say there's some rage going on there if you broke a Razer mouse.
No, actually, it did break just naturally, which isn't a very good commercial for Razer, I guess.
But they're so cool.
I had it for about 3 years, though. So,
oh, wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'm really excited about the merchandise. And, you know, we laughed and we joked because the apparel category had underwear, and somebody on the forum said a surathong, which is just so upsetting on so many levels. But, you know, aside from the standard t-shirts and stuff, there are some really neat options.
Yeah, and the survey they have is actually a way to ask, where they ask you questions about what you would like to see, mm-hmm. and this is a good way for you to, as a player, to mold what they will have available in the merchandise store. So, I don't know, what kind of things that they didn't list would you like to see?
Ooh, that is not a good question to spring on me unexpected, because I'm still sitting here going, ooh, Guild Wars 2 computer case.
See,
I
now that,
want.
Yeah, now that would be cool. They did, what else did they do? It seems like, they had a laptop, I think, a couple years ago.
Oh.
But a lot of this hardware stuff, mm-hmm. people just eat it up, you know?
Oh, well, yeah, if you're going to sit here playing,
yeah.
you want it decked out with your favorite game.
Yeah, definitely.
And it is, I'll tell you what I really did like, though, and I don't know, they haven't said anything to say this is an indication of how it's going to go. There's pretty much something in there, as cheesy as it sounds, to fit every budget. And if you want, you know, I mean, if you want something with Guild Wars 2 on it, you're not just sitting here going, ugh, you know, a $100 keyboard, an expensive computer case. You can get down to just little stuff like pins and clothing.
Yeah.
So it's really, I love the wide variety that they're presenting, and I hope we see that when and if they develop this.
Yeah. And that's always a good way to support, you know, the team, since it's not going to be a subscription-based game. It's another way to support it and kind of show off that you're a giant Guild Wars fan. Right?
Yay! I'll wear that label. I'm okay with that.
I have a couple Guild Wars shirts that I got from PAX a few years ago, and I was wearing one time, and this guy came up to me, and he's like, hey, Guild Wars! He was all excited. That's pretty cool.
Oh, cool. See, I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, this next, let's move on to this next little bit of news here. Now, this is kind of funny. This has to do with Guild Wars 1. What they've been doing is, for anyone who's played the game for a long time, you know that there's this epidemic of bots in the game, or at least there was. I remember a few years ago just sitting back in like Drachner's Forge, and you could literally watch a sea of monks just exiting, you know, through one of the exits, just going out, and then of course you didn't see them come back in because of the way that it teleports you in. But it was just a sea, and you could just sit there and watch them. And we would play games like Dodge the Gold Farmer, or you know, try to join party with a gold farmer before they go outside. And that was always fun because they would stop and they'd be like, "Wait, what is this? Like a party invite?"
You're so confused.
Yeah, and it was fun doing that to try. I mean, we're just, you know, we could have been playing Guild Wars, I guess, but
this was better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now that you say that, I'm laughing because back when you were doing Choose My Adventure, I helped you with a couple of missions while we were going through there. Mm-hmm. And we were in...
Is it Beetleton?
I think so. But we were sitting there watching because every monk bot, they bumped into this little outcropping in the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
It would kind of bounce off of it.
Well, I thought that was funny because most of it is set up with macros. And they it was like that in the desert, too. There were a lot of them that were farming the minotaurs out there. And they would have these little macros where they would run, hit the wall, and then kind of scrape the side of the wall until they went to the exit. And they would all do this. And it was one of those things where for the longest time you'd look at it and say, you know, doesn't ArenaNet see this? Don't they see that this is it, like everyone knows about it now and everyone sees it and it's so obvious. It's just like a big joke now. Well, this went on for a long time. Luckily and happily, I can say that hopefully this is going away now. You know, they have this new thing where they're just getting kind of zero tolerance on bots and everything. And they banned, was it 3,700 accounts?
And disbanded. At the time that this happened, they disbanded over a dozen guilds. And that was at the time of the blog post that ArenaNet put up. Mm-hmm. So many more have been taken out since then.
See, that's really cool. And I like the fact that they are just saying, you know what, we're done with it, we're done with the bots, we're done with this stuff. And they actually had Doom,
That was so cool, and it was so fast. I could not get a screenshot, and it was just killing me. I was standing in Heroes Ascent. No, because I don't bot, so I'm all good. But I was standing in Heroes Ascent watching, and he would, I mean, this enormous Doom would pop out of the ground, swing his scythe at a bot, incinerate the corpse, and disappear.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
That is really cool that they did that. And they made, you know, they made a video out of it, and they're just kind of poking fun at it. This is something they probably, I don't know, got some ideas from the Ion people, because they have done something similar where they go in-game and they blow up the bots and all the farmers and everything. So it's like they're sharing the resources a little bit.
Yeah, that's – well, they're both in Seasoft, so it's very, very cool to watch. But, you know, you mentioned that we're watching the sea of bots coming through, and everybody was wondering why they weren't doing anything. I think a lot of what was going on there, you can sit there and eliminate every one of those bots that's heading for the outpost exit, but you're just putting a Band-Aid on the problem. And I think they've spent a lot of time tracking down the source and figuring out the best way to cut this off at the source instead of just hitting individual bots over it. Because they're just going to, for everyone you do that to, 10 more are going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they've finally taken out where it's coming from.
I want to see some of those guild names that they took out, because they were always guild names that looked like literally you just press your hand down on the keyboard and move it back and forth.
Yes, I've seen those. And then, and I really would, I would love to know, because while I was standing in Heroes Ascent, some people were saying guild names that got banned and players that got banned that you, and they were names that you see all the time on global announcements for winning in PvP. Obviously I am not in any sort of position to find that out for sure and confirm that, but man, I'd love to know. I would love to.
Yeah. Well, of course there are a lot of people saying that they got wrongly banned, and you know, this is the kind of stuff that they're probably going to have to deal with for a while. But
and nobody's perfect. ArenaNet's not perfect, for as much ranting and raving as I do about them. They aren't perfect. And what? I know.
I'm glad I recorded that.
Don't tell anybody. But no, I don't know if or how many people got caught up mistakenly. And this is the part where I have to take a deep breath and not rant. And I'll do that in the column on Monday. But the absolute outrage, it just astonishes me how angry people are because they think they deserve to bot. And I don't know, you agreed to that license agreement that you didn't read when you bought the game. Hey, it's true. Don't.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read the whole thing?
Nope.
Okay. I did, but I know most people did not.
Some games, like actually, Ion makes you agree to it every single time you log in. And didn't Guild Wars did that for a while, didn't they? I think so. And I know like Warhammer does that, and a couple other ones do that, but it doesn't really help. I mean, I still just put accept and not get it.
Well, and even not understand some of them too. You can't click accept until you've scrolled all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a nice token gesture, but you still just, you know, drag the thing down and go. But yeah, we're down a lot of players.
Yep. But that's a good thing when it comes to, I mean, we had a lot of fun, you know, we had good times with those bots, right?
But, you know, I did, and I will miss ZQKL523. We hung out, man.
He was the greatest, I know.
He was. The way he bounced off that little outcropping on his way out.
He did it with more spunk than the rest.
Really did. And he stopped longer when I sent a party invite. It was just, you know, it felt personal. I'll tell you what, the best time I had with the bots was watching Doom swing the scythe. That was a good time. So, you know, I appreciate them providing the fodder for that. No, it was, it's good to see them doing this, and I really do hope that it makes a lasting difference.
Mm-hmm. So. And I hope it's a kind of a note of things to come with, you know, Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, I would really like to see that. And I do, you know what, I have to just take one second. The downside of all of this, the stuff on those accounts, I don't know if you've been looking at all. The things they had that are gone forever, it just kills me. There were.
Oh. Yeah, you were telling me about that, yeah.
Yeah, there was an undedicated mini Vizu, which is like my holy grail of mini pets. And it's gone. That's it.
You're like, just give it to me.
I could have used that. But do you remember the henchman the Henchman Skill Bar contest last year, where I think there were 12 winners, and they each got a completely unique henchman tonic that was an everlasting tonic to make them look like their henchman, the one that they built the skill bar and named. Mm-hmm. And I heard that one of those tonics was on one of those accounts. That tonic is gone, and it was the only one.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there was exactly one of those, and it's gone. So, thanks a lot, guys. I could have used that, too.
And actually, tying in with this, we have a story that's going on the website today at Massively about Symantec, the security company that they make. I believe they make Norton, something like that. But they found, I don't know how this works exactly. It's like the movie National Treasure or something. But they found this this cache of 44 million stolen accounts, and there were like 2 million of these were just from Ion, where they've actually stolen these accounts, and I don't understand. I mean, they said there was 17 gigabytes of information, which is a lot when you consider that, you know, a character doesn't really take up that much info.
Yeah.
17 gigabytes of information, 44 million accounts. And it does say that there are a lot from NCSoft, but it doesn't say if there are any specifically to Guild Wars. But that's really interesting that that's something that can actually be found. You know, that kind of blows my mind.
Well, I don't. Is it like in a box in a basement somewhere?
I don't know. Yeah, like there's this guy.
This is insane.
It's like Silence of the Lambs. Like they raided his house and I don't know.
Found a big box of accounts.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. It's really weird, but that it opens up a whole kind of line of questioning there, and I'd really like to look into that more and see what's going on with that.
Yeah, that is fascinating. And now it does say over 2 million accounts from NCSoft, 60,000 of which came from Ion. So,
so the other ones
the
are
other
from,
ones?
From Lineage 2. No.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Lineage 2, Guild Wars. I don't know if City of Heroes actually has a problem with that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think crazy. Every game probably has it, but yeah, it got huge with some particular games, and Guild Wars was one of them, so it is very cool to see them cracking down on that. And like you said, I can't wait to see that in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to kind of the main topic of this show,
yes,
which
please.
Is the storyline. This is something that was just announced Wednesday. We're recording this on Friday, so just a couple days ago. They came out with another dev blog where they're talking about from Ree Sosby. And for anyone who doesn't know, Ree has been around ArenaNet for a little while, a couple years. She is a very accomplished author. She's written about, I think, like 14 books for Wizards of the Coast. She writes the Dragonlance series. She's written quite a few Dragonlance books. She writes, I think that's pretty much all she writes. There's one that's really popular called Dragon Sword that I've heard about. A lot of them in this New Adventures, Dragonlance and New Adventures series. But we could actually put a link to that in the show notes today because she's a very accomplished author. And she is now doing the kind of lore. What's her official title at Guild Wars 2? Isn't it like lore and...
She is the lore and continuity designer.
Yeah, there you go. That's that's pretty impressive to me.
She is incredibly talented. And actually, while you were talking, I was sitting here looking at my bookcase. We've got about 2 shelves worth of Dragonlance on the bookcase, and that's thanks to my husband. But yeah, we've got some of her stuff here. So
oh, cool.
Yeah, she is amazing.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to have her working on this.
Yeah, and they, you know, ArenaNet is no stranger to the expert authors. You know, of course, Jeff Grubb they've had in there, and a couple others where. You know, these are people who wrote for a living before, and now they're kind of bringing them on, and now they're writing, making sure that, you know, Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 are just really heavily based on storyline. So that's what we're going to talk about now, because it is such a big deal in Guild Wars 2. This dev blog is so big, I don't even know where to start. It's just enormous. But basically, to break it down, story is going to matter in Guild Wars 2. They're really tired of these games where it's just like with the event system where you just go in and you kill 10 rats and then that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really matter. There's going to be kind of an overlying storyline. We're talking about the resurrection of the dragons and preventing that whole thing. This is something we heard about a long time ago.
Yeah, well, but it sounds now we got the information that the overarching storyline is that of those 5 heroes that we saw in the trailer back in December.
Yeah.
and there's animosity there, and they're not adventuring together anymore, and your job is to get them back together to take on, I think it's Zaitan, to take on Zaitan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Destiny's Edge is the name mm-hmm. of this. It's kind of like a broken up adventuring guild. And what reminds me, when I was reading through this, and it reminds me of like a band, like getting the band back together. You know,
well, like, you know, we're all thinking Destiny's Child.
I wasn't until now, but thank you for that.
Why do you think I did it?
So we're trying to get Beyonce back with, no.
with Pierre and Thackeray. Wait, no.
So what we're doing is we're trying to get this old adventurous guild that's broken up, Destiny's Child, no, Destiny's Edge, trying to get it back together and try to have them help us get the dragons, like, back underground or, you know, where
to
they
kill
want.
Them.
Yes, to kill them, 6 feet under. Although I don't think 6 feet would do much for a dragon, would it?
Not so much. It depends on which part of the dragon. Bury
like
that claw.
Yeah. So that's kind of, like you said, the overarching storyline here. That's what everyone is involved in. That's the persistent part of it. But then we each have our own, personal story. Yeah, and it's like, and it's based on so much. And this is where I think it really gets interesting. And that's why I want to really focus this on. Mm-hmm. Even from the beginning, from character creation, you're starting your character and you're answering this line of questions that will kind of dictate what kind of personality your character has and how their story will progress and like mm-hmm. how NPCs react to them and how they will, you know, the choices that they'll have later on in their personal story, which that, you know, that reminds me of, I think the earliest time I saw something like this was probably like Ultima 5 in the 80s. Ultima 5 had this character creation, which wasn't based on anything except a line of questions. And they might have done this earlier than that, but I started mm-hmm. playing in Ultima 5. But it was like, okay, you see a guy with a cart, and, you know, the cart spills out, and there are a couple valuable items there, but he doesn't see them. Do you grab them, or do you tell him that, you know, that he lost some items? And things like that. And I think that's really interesting. I think Elder Scrolls did that, too. There are actually a lot of games that have done it since then, but... it's really interesting because it makes you more involved in the creation process, more than just, I think I'll have red hair instead of pink hair. I mean, personally, I'd go for pink hair, but,
well, I know, but it's awesome,
but it gets you more involved in that whole process and it really makes you feel like you're a part of it. But the second part of that is that you can create more alts, and that is all I needed here right there. you know, because you start your storyline, you create your character a certain way, the whole rest of the game depends on that. You know, which NPCs you kill, which ones you befriend, which ones you fall in love with, things like this, are all, they all play a part in how the game progresses for you and for that character individually. So then you can restart a new character and it could be completely different. So you're not going through pre-searing again and, you know, helping Mary find her apples and the exact same things, you know, every time.
Right. It's just what weapon you're wielding to take out the spiders and bring back the basket of apples.
Yeah, or if you'll tell Mary to go screw off, basically. That's
man, that would be awesome.
It's like, Mary, okay, look, I understand. You
How
like
many baskets of apples have you gotten?
Yeah, and with a persistent world, it makes it even worse. You know, with a persistent world, there will be a line of characters around Mary all bringing back apples to her. It's like, actually, you know, not to pick on other games too much. I don't want to do that, but Fallen Earth has this funny way of when there's an escort quest and you have a group of people, say you have six people in your party, the escort quest will spawn a new escorted NPC for each person in the party. So you can run back and you'll have six of the same guy in your party because you're all six escorting them. It's not a shared quest. And it's one of those things that's kind of funny because it's like a glitch, I guess, or maybe they didn't think about fixing that. I'm not sure. But it's so, as funny as it is, it's so immersion breaking, and it's
No, because they're obviously clones.
Well, yeah, that's actually what we say usually. We're yeah. like we have a pocket cloner, and we're just cloning this guy over and over. but it kind of ruins it.
Yeah, it does.
So Guild Wars 2 is going to make sure that this doesn't happen because they don't have clones in Guild Wars 2. Oh, I don't think so.
Well, now, yeah, don't.
We'll have to
don't
ask that.
Say that. That's what we need to ask.
Are there clones?
Will there be clones? Can we Can we, like, craft relish in Guild Wars 2? What about a flying sparkly horse? Well, that we just need to pick something from every other game.
Yes, that would be a great idea.
Can I have an elven rogue in Guild Wars 2?
So yeah, I think that this is really interesting, not only from a unique perspective, unique storyline perspective for your character, but also for altaholics like myself.
Now I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, in Guild Wars 2, I'd love to see like a memorial to Mary with 75,000 baskets of apples just piled up. So, but yeah, that's the fact of being able to make a change in the persistent world. And the example that I keep coming back to is if you like kill a centaur chieftain, mm-hmm. that chieftain, he's gone. He's gone from the game. He's done. But they will eventually pull it together and elect a new one.
Yeah.
So it's not immersion breaking, which I absolutely love.
Well, and here's the thing too, is these storylines are unique to your character, so they're instanced, you know what I mean? And you can invite, actually, it's a lot like the Hall of Monuments. You know, you can invite mm-hmm. other players into your Hall of Monuments to see the achievements that you've built, mm-hmm. And kind of like how things, you know, what NPCs are in there and how your story has progressed this far. But, you know, in Guild Wars 1 with the Hall of Monuments, that's one little tiny piece of it. And that's mm-hmm. the way all of Guild Wars 2, that's the way it will be throughout. And you can invite other players into your storyline to help you out, but it won't affect them or their storyline. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So it won't be, you know, if they already killed this NPC and then they go help you, they're going to see that NPC there if you didn't kill it already. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that gets a little tricky. But I think that's the only way to really do it.
Yeah, and I don't think instancing is going to be too excessive. I mean, otherwise you're losing the whole point of the dynamic event system. But, you know, you mentioned the Hall of Monuments, and that's something else that she said as far as personal story. You have, I'm scrolling down to find it, you have your home instance mm-hmm. that changes and evolves as you progress and as it updates as your character becomes more involved in their story, which sounds like the Hall of Monuments.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, just in hindsight, there are so many things, there are little hints that we had, and so many things that led up to this. Going back to Destiny's Edge for just a second, in that trailer that we saw, they were really snippy with each other, and they were on edge with one another, mm-hmm. and they were not happy with each other. And this Hall of Monuments, the Hall of Monuments sounds so much like the home instance. That I think we've been seeing some of this all along and just didn't realize where it was leading.
Yeah, no, what gets me, and I guess a question, I don't know if this has been answered or what, but when they say your home, do they actually mean a house or do they mean like your home city? Do you know?
They are going to be, it's going to be your personal home instance, that's actually what they've called it, inside your racial city. So it's going to be your home.
Awesome.
And I have a couple of interview questions in for that, so I hope we hear back from that very, very soon. Because I'm curious, you know how my first big experience with housing in MMOs was with Lotro.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to your separate little neighborhood, and you went into your house. Mm-hmm. But this is inside your racial city. And the way it sounds is that you can just access your home from your home city.
Mm-hmm.
So what are there like 5,000 doorways ringing? Is it like the Hall of Monuments where you go in one and it becomes yours?
Yeah, I'd imagine it. I'm like that, yeah.
Curious as to how that's all going to work. Or can you map to a neighborhood like in Lotro?
Actually, it'll probably be this is, you know, pure speculation, but mm-hmm. it might be a combination of those. I imagine it will be like the Hall of Monuments where when you enter, you don't have to pick the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll pick it for you automatically. But then at the same time, when you want to invite someone into yours, I mean, you have to be the
party leader.
Party leader, yeah, and then it will go into yours, and then you can switch party leaders to see the next person's house. But as far as the racial city itself, will this be full of, you know, will it be more persistent? Will it be like kind of like those neighborhoods in Lotro where you can see other people's houses, and it'll actually tell you whose house it is?
We're gonna have suburbs in Rotasoom.
That would be really awesome.
That would be hilarious. We're expanding out into the explorables now. The whole place is just developed. You know, I remember when this was all raptors as far as the eye could see.
Back in my day.
Yeah, now it's just a strip mall. So that should be cool.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're even hinting at that system. And then, you know, the personal storylines themselves, not only is it something that you can invite others into, and it's more of kind of an instance thing where it's, you know, your own story and your own character's thing, but it really does have such an impact on the main storyline that you're playing through. But mm-hmm. they talk about how events, you know, the events that we were talking about last week, mm-hmm. they won't affect your storyline. Is that right?
They will not. No, they won't. It's all in how you get there. You're all after the same goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the events themselves are kind of considered a separate thing. So it's not something that can really... And also, they also say that storylines can't intertwine. You can't mix storylines. I think it would be interesting if you could. Like, if you could have characters getting married or something like that, and then they can kind of mix their storylines. That would be crazy. I'm sure that's way down the line in technology.
It is, but it's still, this is such an enormous, enormous step forward.
Yeah.
That, and I think it's as intertwined as it can possibly be at this point, mm-hmm. because there's only so much you can do with that, and there's only so much you can do to affect the world before you start screwing up everybody around you. Mm-hmm. And I know from previous interviews, they really want to avoid that. There's not any sort of system, there's nothing you can do to make it fail or to really harm someone else.
Yeah.
As far as their story, so you can only take that so far.
Now let's get a little bit into the epic storyline and how that all plays. Now, mm-hmm. like we said, we're chasing down the members of Destiny's Edge, and we're trying to get the band back together and help have them help us out. But also there are orders that you can join, and these are kind of like factions, I guess, mm-hmm. in any other game. There's the Order of Whispers. And, of course, anyone who's played Nightfall knows about the Order of Whispers.
Yeah, we know them.
They are – now, this is, you know, of course, 250 years later. So they're more about kind of, you know, black ops kind of a thing. You know, mm-hmm. they're kind of like the secret – and they actually believe that the dragons can't be physically killed. They believe that – while a lot of people think that you can literally go out and kill these dragons to get them back, you know, underground –
they just want to put them back to sleep.
Yeah, they just want to put them back to sleep. They don't want to actually kill them. So that's I think that once you get to that point in the game where you can choose which of these orders you follow, mm-hmm. This will be not only with your personal story and like what you believe personally, but I imagine there will be like a whole story. I mean, this is really kind of crazy to even think about. You know, there will be a whole like line of quests that get you up mm-hmm. to that point and everything. But there's the other order is called the Dermond Priory. I think
which
I pronounced
is
that right.
A name. That, yeah, it's a name that we've heard just here and there before. Nothing huge, but it's been around for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And these are kind of the ones who want to preserve the history. You know, they want to preserve every little scrap of information and the lost pieces of knowledge. And they believe that right there will help save the world from the rise of the dragons.
That there's already a solution. It's just a matter of finding it.
Yeah. And in that regard, it's kind of like Tolkien's elves, you know, where they're all about having libraries of knowledge and mm-hmm. just research and things like that, where I don't know if they're going to have pointy ears. Like, as soon as you get in to the order, they're just going to, sorry, we have to clip your ears now to make them pointy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just how it is.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It would be cool.
And then the third one is the Vigil. The Vigil are the ones, they believe in making an army to take down the dragons. They believe that it's not just them that can do this. They need to recruit as many as they can, and they need to help out the kind of less fortunate and the less powerful to get them up to the point where they can join together and mm-hmm. fight the dragons. A lot of people are saying that this is they literally say they call them idealistic because mm-hmm. they don't think
naive.
That this is not something that's going to happen. But of course, they don't see themselves as that way. They think that building an army is the only way to do it.
Well, I think that, you know, if we can just get enough soldiers in this army, we're going to be strong enough to take on this dragon. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. I've seen the pictures. I'm not sure about that. But they are an army of light against the onslaught of darkness is what they say. So
cool.
I don't know. Now, my curiosity here is, in Guild Wars 2, will all three of these methods work? And your final battle with the dragon, will that be instanced to, I assume it will be instanced to reflect which order you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But will they all work, or will we find at the end that one of these people were wrong?
Well, I think one thing that Rhi actually does address related to that is that our choices in the game, not only character creation choices, personal story choices, and I imagine the order we choose also, none of these will really affect the gameplay itself as far as making you more or less powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think hand in hand with that, that would go with, you don't want to pick an order and then find out, you get to the end of the game and you find out that it's not the right one. You know, I don't think there would be a right or wrong one.
That would hurt.
Yeah, it would definitely hurt. And people would be very pissed off.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Well, what would happen, this is what would happen. You know, 2 days after the game launches and the top 1% of players get to the end game already.
Well, I think you're underestimating that 1%. 2 days?
They would say all over in forums that, don't join this one. This is a stupid one and blah, blah, blah. That would kind of ruin it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the people that, finish it on their way home from GameStop.
Yeah.
I'm done.
On a laptop, yeah.
One choice isn't going to give you a big advantage over another.
Yeah, not at all. And she distinctly addressed that. She said that is not what they're all about. It's all about having the little choices. Well, they're major choices, but the little changes are, mm-hmm. That kind of flavor your storyline and your experience in the game. But it's not going to be where you can't get access to certain parts of the end game or the end of the story based on, your choices.
Right. I don't think anybody will be shut out. I wonder, though, as you progress, if the order will have to make adjustments or say, maybe this isn't quite what we think. Let's continue on our path. But, how much will that affect the order, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gesturing again because you can see I'm making a little path with my hands.
The gesture cast, right?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Let me put you on the spot again because I love doing that.
I hate that.
What order do you think you're going to join? Even just based on the little description.
Well, if the Order of Whispers are ninjas, I'm in. And I think they're totally ninjas. No, you know what? It's going to be just like, it's going to be just like with those races. I'll try all three. I will probably go for Order of Whispers first because I'm the most familiar with them. And I want to be comfortable with what I know as I'm learning the game. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I'll let you guess what class I'm going to roll. Totally going to be a warrior.
Oh. I was going to say assassin.
Oh, yes, that too. Yeah, of course. Because I'm so good at that. I'll start in Order of Whispers because it's familiar. And I'll probably roll an elementalist because that's what I know. I'll do what I know as I get familiar with the game.
Okay.
And then I'll try them all out over time.
Fair enough.
So what about you?
Well, about 3 years from now, when I actually get something up to that point, because I'm going to have to start a new character for every class, every race.
This is going to be horrible.
I know it is. No, seriously though, I cannot wait to make alternate. Like, I will literally make a character and play it for about 2 hours and then make a new one. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I've already decided.
Well, but there's so much. I mean,
I know.
It's going to be a little overwhelming, I think. If there's any downside to this, that's it.
Yeah, I think it will be overwhelming, and it will be one of those things for completionists like myself who will just have to bite the bullet and just say, okay, I'm not going to be able to do every quest. I'm not going to be able to do every race and class combination. I'm just going to have to pick about 10 and just...
Only 10?
Well, that's why I have so many Guild Wars accounts.
Yeah.
I have one of every class, and... And then I try out different combinations too. Like I literally have two Necros, and
Why do you have? Is that from refund points days?
Well, no. I wanted to try a different outfit.
I can't even judge you for that.
No, actually, that was back before you could change everything. But I actually have some friends who are worse than me, and they have several of each class. But
jeez, I just blame that on refund points and move on because I lavish all my attention on my main, and then...
Yeah, actually, you can... Since you can change so much, it really makes it so that it doesn't matter. You know, you can change your secondary, you can change your You can change your hairstyle now. You can change all that stuff. You
know, I think I'm gonna have to get over this for Guild Wars 2, it sounds like. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm gonna be dragged into the Altaholic world. Ugh. I'm scared.
It's a wonderful world.
Well, you seem to like it. You hang out there a lot. But yeah, it is going to... The absolute variety is going to be beyond anything we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And what I love current characters... Some of the really good character creation today... I mean, where you've got like sliders for the nose and for the eyes. And here's 75 different kinds of eyebrows you can have.
Yeah.
That's great. And I hope to see as much variety in physical appearance as we do, but the underlying personality and story and background is just blows me away.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping that they will take the elements from the Ion character creator and use them in Guild Wars 2, because that is an amazing, amazing, amazing character creator. Well, we were actually just talking today, and someone at Massively said that that there's a Rick Astley character.
They
made him look just like Rick Astley, which is hilarious. And then there was one, actually, before Ion even came out, they made a Obama character, and it looked just like him. It was amazing.
Are you serious? I'll have to look and see if there's still a picture of that floating around, because I never did see that.
I think the days of you know, not having an extensive character creator are over. You know, everybody wants to be able to make their own character exactly how they want it. And I really hope that they take heed and they listen. You know, we don't want a choice of five faces. We want to be able to use sliders and things like that.
Well, and what that gets back to is actually something that I said over at Massively. You're going to get right back to, if you do that, if you limit that too much, you're going to get right back to the Prophecies monks with the hair buns.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that.
Nope.
No. Think of the hair buns. Don't do it.
I think my monk actually has hair buns, but
everybody's monk has hair buns. Everybody has had a bun monk.
It's like True Confessions. Yes.
I had a bun monk. But no, it is. I mean, you know, it was fantastic 5 years ago, and Guild Wars has incredible staying power as far as an MMO goes. 5 years later, we want more as far as variety and options.
Yeah, the tools have changed. And actually, a lot of that plays into the storyline stuff, too. You know, they even admit that they're making this stuff up. Like, they're making up the tools to do this. And they're making up how this will work. And a lot of it, you know, with any MMO, it changes. If players don't like it, they're going to make changes. They're going to make expansions that, you know, change here and there, patches, things like that. That happens to every single MMO now. So it's kind of inspiring to know that they are that they have the, you know, the creativity, I guess, to start with something new and then kind of see what happens from there. Personally, I'm very excited by all the storyline stuff. I'm even though, okay, I admit I do skip some quest texts here and there. I know that's
very occasionally.
Shocker. Yeah. Well, the first time I played through Guild Wars, the very first time, I did not skip anything, and I read everything. And it was like, and that's what really got me into the storyline and the game itself. And then I, you know, every other character after that, I kind of skip it. But what's crazy is they change some stuff since then, so I don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I remember back in the old days when this guy did this. So this will be interesting to me to actually sit down and read this stuff and kind of feel more immersed into it. I mean, the role-playing community, can you imagine how well they're going to...
They're
going
to love this.
Yeah, and you know how many blogs there are out there about stories, like people writing their own personal story.
Uh-huh.
Even in Guild Wars 1, where the story is pretty linear, and it's we all know what's happening, we all know that Rurik dies. Oh, wait, was I supposed
to... Oh, look what you did.
And, well, I won't tell about the part about he comes back.
Oh okay. That where he's undead?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell him that.
Okay. Can you imagine all the blogs that will pop up about personal stories? Like, this is how I played Guild Wars 2, and this is what happened with my character. That's going to be interesting. I think, actually, I'm putting it out there right now. I'm not going to do this, but somebody needs to do this. Somebody needs to make a blog that's a giant repository for all of the stories. Like, you know what I mean?
Like a hub.
Yeah, like a hub of Guild Wars 2 stories. What do you
think? That, if they're well done.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how much crap I'd have to filter through.
Today I dance naked in Ascalon City. It was awesome.
Oh, there's already blogs like that. But, you know, with Quest Text, you make such a good point, because I think we're at the point where we're all just really sick of that linear Quest Text. You know, I've got, if I have an alt in Lotro, I'm running around going, no, you did not lose your amethyst ring. Shut up. Your husband has it. Seriously, yeah. Just stop. I've made a thousand of them.
And it really just makes you want to skip those quests.
Yeah, it does. It gets old and it gets boring.
Yeah.
And given ArenaNet's history of taking existing things that people like and taking them a big step further and making them that much better, I think this is really going to be something amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond what we're even speculating. Mm-hmm. I hope I didn't just set myself up for disappointment. But you know, I mean, they're very good at what they do.
Well, you know, that actually brings up a good point, because one of the underlying themes I've heard from comments and from responses from this information we're getting is, yeah, this is great, but let's see if they actually pull it off. You know, let's mm-hmm. see. And that's not based on ArenaNet. That's based on MMOs in the last, you know, 3-4 years.
People are incredibly cynical.
Yeah, let's see if this stuff that we're hearing about actually happens. You know, a lot of the story stuff and the kind of dynamic event thing, it's been, like we talked about last time, Warhammer Online kind of introduced us to that. You know, Dark Age of Camelot did, but mm-hmm. Warhammer really brought that forth. And then Heroes of Talara, which has been changed to Rift, Plains of Talara, that game is one that has been talking about that too, you know, about going in and having these choices that actually destroy the village if you don't, you know, follow through and if you
right.
don't help out. But I think they had it on a much smaller scale. I'm not sure where they're at on that now. I actually saw it last year at E3, but I haven't heard anything about it since. So this stuff is it's very difficult, I would imagine, to actually implement. And that's why a lot of people are cynical about it, because they're like, yeah, you know, we hear this stuff. When we read what you're saying, and it sounds great, and it's been, you know, processed through the marketing filter, but is it, you know, not until I can get my hands on it and actually run through and create a character that...
And see for myself.
Yeah, it's a truly unique character with his own storyline, and then I create another one, and I see that it's a different storyline through the same areas, then I will believe. And that's not going to happen until the game launches.
Right. And I can, you know, and I say people are cynical, but I can completely understand it, because you can say anything. I could say right now, oh, I'm making an MMO where if you fail the quest, an orc will kick your front door down and smack you in the head.
I think Warhammer actually did that.
Remind me not to play Warhammer.
I think Paul Burnett actually goes to your house and beats you up if you do a certain thing. No.
Hey, note to self, do not play that game, just in case. But no, seriously, you can say, I mean, they can say all these great things. And I'm inclined to trust them because I've seen what they've done in the past. And I've seen the progression of Guild Wars 1 even in the past 6 months.
Yeah.
But I think just because of the mindset of the majority of the MMO community, they're going to need to see this for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because not with Guild Wars, not with anybody in particular, but too many times we've seen amazing things promised that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that. I choose to remain excited.
I imagine we're going to end a lot of our kind of informational pieces on, we'll just have to wait and see.
We should find some different way to say that. Something, time will tell.
Well, I guess that would be a good place to kind of wrap things up. But next week, we don't know what we're going to talk about next week, because we pretty much take these as the news comes in. But...
next week we'll talk about something new and awesome.
Yes,
wait,
hopefully.
See.
I mean, if you think about all the things they still have to talk about, you know, we still have all the classes left mm-hmm. to talk about. We have things we can't even imagine yet. You know, like we didn't even know that this whole story thing was going to pop up. So
yeah, that was cool.
They're literally releasing information now. It seems like once a week, and even if it's not big information, it's something. So we'll definitely have something to talk about.
And I'll tell you, it's coming at a faster clip now. We've gotten 3 or 4 things this week. I'm dying over here. But it is, I mean, it's really, I just feel like they're gearing up for something really huge in the next month or two.
And the release of Guild Wars 2, no.
Ah, don't do that.
We're just skipping betas, and we're releasing the game.
Crap. Now we have to say very clearly that we have received nothing that indicates that. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Please do not call GameStop and tell them.
I'm a glutton for punishment, I swear.
You are. Give your email address fast.
Ruby@massively.com.
Now, it is, all of that, though, is pure speculation. I mean, we don't know dates any more than anybody else. We don't know dates any more than GameStop does. Has that?
Well, we can make up dates like GameStop does.
Oh, there we go. I think November 11th is what they said.
Oh, you heard it here first.
Oh, no. And you know what? It was funny because I think I had told you my husband's nephew was like, man, I saw it in GameStop. I'm going, please don't do that.
Yeah.
No, seriously, they pull those out of their ears. Please stop.
Yeah, they just want you to get the pre-order in on, you know, with them. Mm-hmm. And
shockingly,
it's not even it's not even possible now. It's like it's just,
yeah, not going to happen.
There is no pre-order right now. It's like I don't know.
They
anyway,
just commit. Just give us a credit card number. That's all. They're like hanging on your ankle as you leave GameStop.
And do you want a warranty with that?
With what? But yeah, that's, we know nothing, okay? Let's just leave it there.
We literally know nothing.
Yeah, I have no idea how to end this call. I don't know what to do. So,
well,
but yeah, next week, more stuff.
Next week, more stuff. And if you want to, like I said, the check out the RSS feed at Guild Wars, or Guildcast, no, don't go to Guild Wars, guildcast.libsyn.com/RSS. You can also check out our website that's a little cleaner and prettier than the Libsyn one at guildcast.wordpress.com. And I'm probably going to set up an email pretty soon where we can start getting email in. But if you want to email me in the meantime, you can do sean@massively.com. And you can ask us some questions, and we will make up answers.
And so you can email me and scream at me too if you want. I can make stuff up.
Okay, you asked for it.
Yeah, great. I'm going to get it now.
So until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then. I really need to stop ending every podcast the same.